Yeah, let's wait till we get our young. Yeah, the young adults are going to be in here today because we want them to be able to enjoy our brother Jay Baylor. And I want to take a few minutes to introduce him, but I'm going to wait till they finish receiving the offering there. So, we got a big group here this morning for a summer day. It's great. Welcome to everybody, especially if you're visiting with us today. While we wait, let's just take a minute to pray. We've got Blake left today to go to the DTS in Tyler, and we have down there David Cavanaugh, and we also have Noelle Dawson, and we also have, yes, thank you. that's right, Timmy and Emily, and then we also have in China our dear sister. And I just drew a blank. Wow. Thank you. Wow, my brain today. I'm sorry. I just got home last night and I'm still kind of fried. Okay. Yeah. Father, we just thank you for these young men and women who are serving you away from here. And I think of the ones in Tyler as they finish their week of training and they'll be heading out to New Orleans for a week and Mexico for a week to minister on the streets. God, be with them, we pray. Grant them safe travel. Bless them and keep them, we ask. Make your face to shine upon them. Grant them your peace, O Lord. We pray that not only for them, for all who will be traveling with them. And we especially ask for them as they are serving as leaders this time, that you would grant them wisdom and discernment and equip them for the work that you've called them to. Likewise for Blake as he travels there today and participates in the time there, we ask, Father, for your favor upon him and your blessing on him, O God. Renew him in you, we ask and pray, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. And even as his mother gave testimony, thank you for the provision that you made for him. And lastly, Lord, for Amanda and this whole team she's with there in Western China, working at a university with young students, women, young women who are all Muslim culturally, but yet because of the communist government aren't able to really live out their faith as Islam would dictate. And so, Lord, that actually creates a more open door. And we just ask and pray, Father, for divine appointments and for divine wisdom as they share with these young women, as they seek to reveal to them the truth that Isa al-Masih is the Son of God, that he is the one who came to live and die for them, even as he did for us, Lord. God, open the eyes of their hearts. Remove the veil from the eyes of their heart. We ask and pray and show them your truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, it's my privilege to introduce our guest, Jay Baylor. And Jay and I have known each other since November 2009. First met at a Red Robin at Owings Mill. So it's been a wonderful journey with him, and I consider it a tremendous honor to walk with him. Jay is one of the original four pastors in the Alliance. Doug Johnson, a name that most of you are familiar with, and Matt Stutzman, who shared here a month ago. He's also one of our Alliance pastors. So we have an amazing opportunity to hear from Jay this morning. Jay grew up in Pennsylvania and went to Penn State. We got any Penn State fans here? Yeah, I got a few here, Jay. And he went into the Army as an Army Ranger. And ironically, we have an Army chaplain here this morning, Colonel Schaefer. If we could just recognize you today. Welcome. We're glad to have you with you. James is Tom Fritz's Tom Keast, brother-in-law. Yeah, so in other words, his wife is Tom's sister. Welcome. So we're so glad that you all could be here. And it's ironic because Jay's goal in life was to become an Army colonel. Right? Did I get that right, Jay? And then he was apprehended by the Lord. And that changed the course of his life. He went to Fuller Seminary, which, for those of you that know anything about seminaries, that's a phenomenal seminary. Some people say seminaries are cemeteries, and some of them are, but Fuller's a great seminary. And 1994, he went into full-time ministry, and he's been around in this area for quite a while. Jay, when did Burning Heart Ministry start? When did you start that? 2003. Started in his home. Yeah. And from there, he migrated on to become ordained in the Anglican Church. So we are honored to have an Anglican minister with us this morning, and which is quite a privilege and honor. And I had the honor of being there for that. It was quite an evening. I'll never forget that. He and his wife, Mindy, are both with us. They've been married 25 years. Pretty good run. All right. And they have two daughters, Rachel and Emma. Rachel's at the University of Maryland, and Emma's at Temple University. And great young women. I've met both of them. But, you know, Jay is a passionate man. I love his passion. I love his friendship. I love the fellowship we've shared. And, by the way, at the end of the service, we're going to receive an offering. There's an offering basket in the back. And we want to really bless this brother. Okay, he's in a church planning situation, and we'd like to really honor him if we can. So I just want to encourage you, if you're making out a check, make it out to New Heritage Community and just put special offering. And before I say the last thing I was going to say, just an aside, I just want to thank all of you for your prayers for me for this last week when I was unexpectedly called out of town to spend time with my brother who had major shoulder surgery on Tuesday evening, actually. Literally at 5 o'clock he went into surgery. The doctor had just finished doing a total shoulder replacement on the previous patient. Yeah. And he came out 2 hours later, and so I was with him every day helping. I'm not going to preach this morning. It might be a sermon 1 week, but God showed me a new meaning of what it means to be a servant, where your life's not your own, and you're at the total beckoning of someone else, totally, even to the point of, no, that's not the right thing you got from the store. Go back and get the right one, you know. Okay, you know, I mean, just talk about laying down your life. So my prayer, and I ask you to join with me, that just through all that, he'll see Jesus. You know, amen. Well, Jay, as you can see from the picture, Jay loves hats. And Jay is also a Ravens fan. So I want to give Jay a gift. It's a cameo Ravens hat. Come on up, Jay.
It's so good to be here with you. I feel like my wife and I, Mindy, feel like we're at home when we're here. We've been to lots of evening services here that the Alliance has held, but this is my first opportunity to be here with you in the morning, and it's so good to be here with you. You guys are an awesome group of people. Such a great looking group of people. Look, just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are looking good this morning. Well, as Randy said, I'm a church planting pastor in East Baltimore, and so we are planting an Anglican church. And if you don't know who the Anglicans are, we started off really early in church history at the Reformation, and the current expression of this in the United States is that we are traditional and that we trace our roots back to the earliest church. We're evangelical, so the Bible is the word of God, and we're spirit-filled. So we see miracles, signs, and wonders. We believe in the full movement of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so it's a very diverse and varied church, and it's all over the world. It's actually more in Africa. Our center of gravity is really actually Nigeria, Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, and Rwanda. And so it's really exciting for us to be in close fellowship with Africans primarily in our communion. And so I'm enjoying being an Anglican. And what's interesting about being in East Baltimore is that we're planting in a neighborhood that is a strategic neighborhood in Baltimore. Everybody knows Baltimore is divided up into very diverse neighborhoods, right? So our church is literally a quarter of a block from a line. Everybody knows the lines, right? So we're in the last white neighborhood before you reach all the African American neighborhoods in East Baltimore, which means we get to bring together people who wouldn't normally hang out together. And we get to worship together as a group of folks who wouldn't normally be friends or wouldn't normally hang out and certainly wouldn't worship together. So we're a multi-ethnic church. We are out on the street on a regular basis, going door to door, going through our neighborhoods, loving all of the neighborhoods around us, and extending the love and mercy and grace and healing of Jesus in all of our neighborhoods, because we want to see the lines be erased in Baltimore. We want to see the walls that have separated us for so long in Baltimore torn down. And we want to be a presence of peace in the neighborhoods that are so troubled and so challenged. And so on a regular basis, we go out and in the evenings, we walk through the neighborhoods and just bring peace and bring healing and pray for everybody that we encounter, particularly down in East Baltimore, Broadway East, where there's really so much need. So it's a privilege for us to be here with you today. And we've started to think of what we're doing in our church as kind of like a skunk works. Anybody know what that means? So we're like an experimental lab. We're like a church R&D program. Now you get what I'm talking about? So we're experimenting with things that most churches aren't experimenting with. We're trying things that a lot of people haven't tried yet. So just want to let you know, this is who we are. This is what we're doing. And it's a privilege to be invited to speak with you and to share with you today. And I so appreciate the friendship that Randy and Fred and New Heritage have extended to me, and that we have been able to foster together in the Alliance, because you know, we do that. We get together and we pray together. We worship together. We do outreach together. And we love one another because we love one another. Because it's much better to be together than it is to be alone, right? And so it's so good to be in fellowship with you and to share with you what God's doing. I'm going to preach this morning out of John 20. So if you got Bibles and you want to follow me, or you want to get your iPhone out look at your Bible. John 20, starting at verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were in fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, the disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing him, you may have life in his name. Father, we ask that you bless the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, that you would stir up deep hunger in us to know you more, to follow you more closely, to become more like you, that we would extend your kingdom here on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jesus says three really important things to his disciples. Peace be with you. I send you. Receive my spirit. And all of this leads to forgiveness and restoration. So let's start with the first thing that Jesus says when he walks into the room. Peace be with you. How many of you know the disciples needed some peace? They were really afraid, and they had right to be afraid. Their leader had just been executed as a rebel against the Empire of Rome. And how many of you know when the leader gets executed, the next thing that happens is all of his followers get rounded up and they get executed? But they weren't afraid of the Romans. They were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid of their own people. They were afraid of being turned in, of being found out. And so they're hiding. Now, how many of you know fear isn't always rational or logical, right? But they feel as if they are in a very insecure space. They're waiting to be betrayed, handed over for execution. This is so uncomfortable to be. See, they don't know. They don't know that they're just in an in-between spot, right? We know. It's just the in-between spot. You're in between the execution, the resurrection, and the ascension, right? They're in between, but they don't know they're in between. How many of you know that when you're in crisis, you're just in between? You don't know what's coming next. You're just in between. You're either in trouble, coming out of trouble, or just getting out of trouble. Trouble is always coming or going. And when you're in it, but you don't know what's next. They just don't know what's next. They don't know that they're about to share in the ascension of Christ into his place of glory. They just know they're in trouble. And don't we find ourselves in that kind of position often? And aren't we really in that kind of place now? We're waiting. We're waiting for him to return. And we know the world is not as it should be, and we get into trouble often. Amen? Amen. Come on now, somebody. But when Jesus walks into the room, everything changes. Everything changes for us when Jesus walks into the room. Hasn't this happened to us? Everything changes when Jesus walks into the room. I grew up in church. I went to church every day, every week, and many times during the week. But the church I went to was the kind of church that didn't quite believe that Jesus was really Lord, didn't really believe that the Word of God was the authority of God. So we didn't really care too much about salvation, certainly didn't understand the Holy Spirit. We had really good potlucks. And we did a lot of good for the community, but I didn't really get to know the Lord in this church. So how many of you know, I lost interest really early and walked away from the church. Wasn't interested in church once I got to college. Certainly wasn't interested in church when I was in the Army. Even though I had really good chaplains, I really did, who really went after me and tried hard. In fact, we got married by our Ranger chaplain. And we want to go back someday and tell him, after his 15 minutes of counseling to us before the marriage, say, "We made it! We really did! It worked! It stuck! Whatever you did, stuck!" But when my wife and I met each other, my parents had come to the Lord previously, just a few years earlier, in really miraculous circumstances. The Lord just showed up to them. They had been in this church all their lives, and all of a sudden the Lord shows up and says, "You really don't know me." And my parents' response to him was, "You're right. Tell us how we can get to know you." And they found people to disciple them in their late 40s, and they came to, they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they started praying for me. So when I met Mindy and we wanted to get married, my parents said, "Well, we need to come and visit you." And we said, "Well, we need to find a church to take you to take my parents to, because, you know, we had to keep up the front." You know what I'm saying? So we find this nice little church where everybody loves us because we're the youngest people there. And isn't this a cute little couple? And so my parents visit and they love the church because the Holy Spirit's there. And through the summer, the pastor starts having prayer meetings at the church on Sunday nights and then walk up the hill to his house to have pie. Well, I thought, I'll sit through a prayer meeting to go to pie. Why not? So after one of these prayer meetings, one of the old ladies in the church literally stops me. Now, remember, I'm an infantry ranger platoon leader. I've got a high and tight. My head's totally shaved. I'm hardcore. She grabs me by the cheeks like this with both hands. And she pulls me in. And she says, "You need a personal relationship with Jesus." And I said, "You're probably right." And she held on. So finally she lets go and she reaches into her tote bag, gives me a tract and says, "Here, take this home and pray it." Well, a couple weeks later, Mindy, my wife, was also in the Army. She goes away on a deployment. I've got a free weekend. I thought, why not? Why not? What have I got to lose? I'm going to get this tract out. I'm going to pray through it. So I start to look at this tract and I thought, as I'm reading the scripture, I realize I've read all of this before. I read the Bible cover to cover several times in high school and college. I knew all the stories. I've been raised in church. I knew the stories. So I said to the Lord, like, "This got to be different this time, because look, okay, all of you young folks that have been raised in the church, just because you've been raised in the church doesn't mean you got the relationship." I said, "Lord, this has got to be different. I might know you. I might know about you, but I need to know you. Like, it has to get from here to here. So you got to do something different for me this time." And as I started to read these scriptures and write them out, I started to pray them for myself. And that's what made the difference for me. All of a sudden, Holy Spirit fell into the room, fell on me, convicted me of my need for him, stirred up desire in me for him. I went through repentance, laid on my floor for about 3 hours, like literally the story of my life passed in front of me. And I saw all the things I had done that I needed to undo, to make restitution, to receive, to ask forgiveness. And then I was brand new. I had a relationship with Jesus. Now, how I got into the Holy Spirit stuff, that's a whole different story. But it's different when Jesus walks into the room. Amen? Amen? Others search for him, and some are just found by him. Amen? Jesus, I'm here to tell you, friends, that Jesus will walk through your walls. He will walk through your walls of fear to touch you. He will walk through your locked doors to speak to you, to restore you, to heal you. No matter what your walls are made of, or no matter why you put those walls up, Jesus will walk through them. So, you know, Jesus walks through your walls and your locked doors because he loves you. And he is not okay with being locked out. And he's not okay with you locking yourself away from others or from him. So he walks through in love. Out of love for you. He will walk through them just to be with you. He'll walk through them to give you peace. He will walk through them to give you the peace of heaven, the shalom, the rightness, the wholeness of real life that can only come from heaven. Peace will be with us. Come on, somebody. Peace will be with us. He will make it through the walls for us. He will pass through the doors for us. Amen? Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Come on now. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Peace will be with you. And he says in another place, my peace I leave with you. He will say even later that he will never leave us or forsake us. His peace comes with his presence. When he walks into the room, everything changes. Our need for his presence is the answer for even more than our fear. His presence is the answer for our confusion. His presence is the answer for our anxiety. His presence is the answer for our busyness, for our frustration, for our failure or loss. His presence is the answer for any conflict that's in your life, for any pain that you're experiencing. His presence is the answer for all of our separation, for all of our anxiety, for every feeling of rejection and not fitting in. His presence brings the peace that fills in all the gaps. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. His presence can change everything. And there's nothing you have to do to measure up. Are you hearing me? He just wants to be with you. He wants to walk through your walls and open your locked doors. We were doing a tent meeting years ago. I don't know if Randy was at this meeting or not with Matt Stutzman, but we were in a park in Southwest Baltimore, just worshiping the Lord in the middle of this neighborhood. And there was an older gentleman sitting in the back, way away from everybody else. And one of the young guys in my house church at the time, Roger, got this word of knowledge for this guy that he had pain in his neck from 37 years. And so he walks over to him, introduces himself to him, and gives this guy the word that the Lord told me that you've had pain in your neck for 37 years. And this guy freaks out a little bit. Like, how do you know? Turns out, right, that's what he said. Well, the Lord told me because he wants to heal you. Turns out this guy had been wounded in Vietnam and had lived with daily constant pain. So Roger lays hands on him. He gets healed instantly. His pain's gone. And so Roger does what everybody's trained to do, right? Brings him up front to give a testimony. So he comes up, he gives a testimony. The guy's name is Boone. And Boone gives his testimony, and then Roger takes it the next step. This is always the best step. All right, who else has pain? Come on up. Boone and I are going to pray for you. So about eight people walk up. They have pain in their back or their necks. And Roger prays for the first person. They get healed. Everybody celebrates. Second person, Roger says to Boone, okay, you lay your hands on them too and pay attention. Listen. So Boone prays for him with the second person. Then the third person and every person thereafter, Roger says, Boone, you pray. So Boone prays for the next five or six people. They all get healed. Everybody's celebrating. We're having a great time. Boone and Roger walk back to their seats, and Boone leans over to Roger. Now, Boone's drunk or high. He's homeless. And he says to Roger, now tell me some more about this Jesus. I'm a Selah. How does that happen? Jesus walked in to Boone's life. And without Boone really even knowing who Jesus was, Jesus moved through him to heal all those people because he just loves them. And he loves all those people that had pain. When Jesus walks into the room, everything changes. And you know what? What I love about the disciples is that we really get to see what's going on in their lives, in their hearts, right? So Thomas, we give Thomas a hard time, don't we? But you know what? I'm pretty sure that the Lord is okay with Thomas's challenge. He's all right with Thomas's questions. Friends, the Lord is all right with your questions and your challenges and your concerns. He is not insecure. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. And he is okay with you asking your questions. He's okay. He says, go ahead, Thomas. Go ahead. Go ahead, touch my hands. Go ahead. Feel the nails. Go ahead. Go ahead, touch my side. Put your hand in there and feel that wound that I took for you. Go ahead. Go ahead and touch him. Jesus says to you, go ahead and touch me. Go ahead and touch me. Prove to yourself that I'm really here. Prove to yourself, experience me, touch me, prove to yourself that I'm really here for you. Prove to yourself that I really have come through the walls for you. Prove to yourself that I really have come through the locked doors for you. I'm convinced that we are all just one encounter away from a completely different life. Anybody with me? I'm going to try this side over here. I'm completely convinced that we are one encounter away from a totally different life. Just seeing him once puts everything else into perspective. Just touching him once or being touched by him once puts everything else into alignment. We discover that everything else we've been trusting in is just an idol. Everything else we've been trusting is unfaithful and untrustworthy, and he is the only trustworthy one. He is the only one who is faithful. He is the only one we can lean upon. He is the only one who really loves. He is our Lord and our God. He is worthy of our worship. He really is worthy of our loyalty and our obedience. He really is worth the dedication of our full lives. We can have confidence in him. And he says to us out of this confidence, as the Father sent me, so I send you. How did the Father send the Son? He came as a babe in weakness. How many of us are weak? But he filled him with power, the power of the Spirit. And Jesus is the climax of this long story of God and Israel. And he sends his salvation to the rest of the world from Israel. How would his message go out to the rest of the world through the rest of time? It will go through us. Come on, somebody. We are sent in all of our weakness, in all of our failure, in all of our humility. We are sent. We implement his message. He defeated death and broke the slavery of sin, so we don't have to repeat that anymore. And we get to live out his life in the kingdom. We live as the new creations he has made us to be. We are sent just as he was sent. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor. Come on, neighbor. I've been sent. You've been sent. And now Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is always more about receiving. Are you hearing me? The kingdom's always more about receiving than taking or doing. The high point of our service in the Anglican Church is receiving communion, the Eucharist. And anytime everyone comes forward to receive, we come forward to receive. It's an altar call. And when we receive, the servers break off the bread that's been broken for us, and we place our hands out like this. You can't take the body of Christ. You receive it. And the cup is given to you, and you receive it. Amen? So the kingdom of God is about receiving. We just say, we receive it, Lord. We receive it. It's his to give and it's ours to receive. And we have been given power to do what he has sent us to do. We've been given real power. He breathed on us in his Spirit. Just like God breathed life into Adam and Eve to give them life, Jesus breathes on us his Spirit to give us new life. and the power to live it out. We have to remember that it is for this that we receive the Spirit. To be empowered with His Spirit to live out His message for all people throughout all time. Sin is really serious rebellion against our created purpose. We were made for more than sin. We were made for life. We were made for more than failure. We were made for victory. We were made for more than pain. We were made for wholeness and health. We were made for more than separation. We were made for love and family and fellowship. And it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live that way. And it's for us to receive His Spirit. And we're entrusted with this mission and empowered by His Spirit. And He trusts us with reconciliation. That's a really big deal. We get trusted with this mission to reconcile the world to God. How big is that? That's huge. We are His plan to bring everyone else into relationship with Him. And He gives us the power to do that through His Holy Spirit. And it happens through forgiveness. It happens through relationships coming back together again. Is anybody with me? Yes. And we do this through receiving His Spirit. How many of you need Jesus to walk through some walls for you today? How many of you have some doors that you just need Jesus to walk through? All right, we're going to do that. In the time we have left. So I want you to just close your eyes. I know you guys are an easy crowd. Randy already set this up. He already got this going earlier in the service. I was like, come on, Randy, you're going to get this done for me before I get up there. I'm convinced that no matter how healed we've gotten, we have more healing to get. Yes. And healing and reconciliation and forgiveness is it's part of our discipleship. It's part of our process of becoming more like Jesus. Because any wall that's up, any door that's locked, is something that holds us back from more relationship with Him and more and being closer to Him. Are you with me? So we just want like, I think the church is really a great recovery. It's a recovery ministry. We're all recovering from sin. We're all recovering from rebellion. We all have a hurt, habit, or hang up. Amen? And no matter how healed we get, we still need more. Amen. So Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, come, walk into the room. We're so thankful that You are already here. We want to be more and more aware of Your presence. So come. We welcome You here to minister to us now, to bring the healing that we need, to walk through the walls that we've placed in our lives, to open the locked doors. Just picture Jesus walking through your walls. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Come further in, Jesus. Picture Jesus opening locked doors. What are those walls made of? What does Jesus do when he sees those walls? Thank you, Jesus. More of your presence, Jesus. More of your peace. Now, when Jesus looks at you, what does he say to you? Instead of these walls, what does he have? Ask Jesus, what will he give you instead of walls? What will he give you instead of locked doors? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. You're so good, Lord. You're so good. Thank you, Lord. Just receive what Jesus has for you. You just say to him, I receive it. I receive what you have for me. I receive more of your spirit. Now, last question. Just ask Jesus. Maybe some of you already have this answer, but ask Jesus, to whom are you sending me? Where are you sending me? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Did anybody have an encounter that they would be willing to give a testimony? Randy? Am I safe to give him the mic? Can I give him?
Honestly, I the Lord just showed me something that I've never seen before.
Wow.
Yeah. That when we're in the situation you described and that we face, so often we ask Jesus to break down the walls. But he doesn't break down the wall. He comes through the wall. We've erected the wall. They were hiding out of fear behind the walls. The walls were their protection that they'd erected to protect them. He came through the wall to them and ministered to them. We've erected that wall. He comes to minister to us. And then it's our responsibility to take that wall down that we've erected, falsely, wrongly erected, because he's with us to give us the courage, the strength, whatever we need to face whatever we're facing.
Amen.
Wow. Powerful. Thank you, brother.
Amen. You're welcome. Bless you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your message. So I had a picture of, we just recently went away, and on the door you would put do not disturb, or you would put, you know, you gave permission to come in and clean out. And so, you know, God's, we want to give the Lord permission to come in and clean us out and make us new again. And not to put the do not disturb sign. So it's easy to put that do not disturb. So that's what I say.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, since I walked in, I just felt like the Lord, there's a strong anointing for healing. I just feel a strong anointing for healing here. And I know that you all have, there's an anointing for healing that you have shepherded and nurtured here in this place. So, I feel like the Lord wants to do some more healing. And this inner healing thing, like the inside job, is so vital. It's so important for us to get ourselves healed. And it's, as Randy alluded to, it's really our responsibility to pursue our own healing. But I feel like the Lord also, I feel like the Lord wants to do some physical healing here today as well. So if you would just wait with me for a minute, I want to ask the Holy Spirit, give the Holy Spirit some time to give me some words of knowledge. And I just want to see what the Lord is going to do. Anybody else want to see what the Lord wants to do? All right. So lean in with me. Lean in with me. Lord, what would you like to do? What else would you like to do as we close our service today? What else would you like to do in healing today? Come, Holy Spirit. I immediately just heard the Lord say, and I know that this is really sensitive, so I'm going to be careful in the way I say this, but the Lord wants to heal somebody who's dealing with really difficult, like a digestive crisis, like there's really serious damage to intestines or colon, and there's even possibility of having to use a colostomy, and so the Lord wants to bring healing to that right now. Thank you, Lord. Bring healing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. More. More. Spine. Yeah, I was actually just hearing that too. Does anybody have fused spine? Anybody else have really severe spinal damage? Those who are, just put your hands on, raise your hands again. Lord, we just could declare healing right now for spines in Jesus' name. We command spines to be restored and released. We release pain. We command pain, stiffness, and soreness to go right now. Restore vertebrae. Restore discs that have been damaged right now in Jesus' name. Just plug up those holes that have been caused by ruptures in discs in Jesus' name. And restore discs right now. Restore nerves that have been damaged. Cartilage, any muscle damage in backs, we just command it to be restored in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody feel anything? What do you feel? Warmth down through your back? Wow, thank you, Lord. Could you stand up and do something you couldn't do? Try it out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You couldn't do that before? Wow. Thank you, Lord. All right. Gonna go ride the horse. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Lord, we just release more healing right now for backs, for necks, for vertebrae that have been damaged. We just release more healing. Come, Lord Jesus. Pain, go in Jesus' name. Stiffness, soreness, go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Just test yourself out. Try it out. Anybody feel any change, any difference in their body? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What else would you like to do today, Lord? More, Lord. More. I hear fused ankle. Does anybody have pins or rods or something like that in your ankle from a really bad ankle break? We speak life right now into ankles, into joints. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Migraine headaches. We command migraine headaches to go in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Heal migraines. We command stress to lift right now in Jesus' name. Just release stress from shoulders and necks. Release stress right now from headaches. Thank you, Jesus. Bring the chemicals into balance that need to be in balance in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We speak life into depression right now, Jesus. Anyone suffering depression, we just command the darkness to flee. We command heaviness to go right now. We ask for your light and your life to touch people right now who are suffering from depression, suffering from anxiety. We command your darkness to go in Jesus' name. We command the darkness to go, and we ask for your light to come, for your love to come. Come with your vitality and your energy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else getting words of knowledge? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. We ask for encouragement, Lord, for those suffering from long-term need. Lord, we ask that you would come and meet them. Come and touch them with your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else hearing a word of knowledge, feeling anything in your body? Knees and wrists. Anybody need prayer for your knees or your wrists? All right. Come, Lord Jesus. Come on. Just lay hands on those around you who are got their hands up. Lord, we just ask for your healing right now. We command carpal tunnel to go in Jesus' name. Come with your peace right now. We declare peace into joints in Jesus' name. We command just knees to be restored. Cartilage be restored in Jesus' name. No more stiffness or soreness. Wrists just open up. Knees release. We release the resurrection life of Jesus into joints that have been degraded in Jesus' name, have been injured. We command peace and healing and wholeness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody feeling anything? Thank you, Lord. More. More. Just bring healing to John right now. More. More of your healing. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Maybe you need to get up and move around. Try it out a little bit. See how you feel. Amen. There's such a good atmosphere in here. It's so good to be with y'all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord, she saw a drill bit. So the Lord just wants to go deeper. He wants to drill down deeper. So Lord, we say yes. We say yes. We say yes to more of you. We say yes to going deeper with you. We say yes to you opening up places in our lives that we have locked away. Just drill down deeper. Drill down deeper, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we just ask that what you're doing here, Lord, you would just continue to do throughout the day. Lord, that you would just continue to take us deeper into you. Lord, we ask that you would keep on walking through our walls. Lord, show us the walls that we need to tear down. Show us the doors we need to open. Show us the doors that we need to take off the do not disturb. And Lord, just keep on ministering to us as we're with you throughout the rest of the day, throughout the rest of the week. Lord, and we ask that you seal this word in our hearts. And Lord, seal the work that you've been doing in our spirits and in our bodies in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.